You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we look at the questions raised about Hillary Clinton's use of email when she was Secretary of State, and new questions about whether she used her position to benefit donors to the Clinton Foundation.
First, all over the world, temperatures are on the rise and summers are getting hotter. Here in Wisconsin, a recent heat wave brought heat indexes in excess of 100 degrees Fahrenheit, as well as at least one heat-related death. Experts predict that 2016 will be another record-breaking year for average temperatures, and the following years could bring more of the same.
As our next guest points out, that likely means the use of more air conditioning throughout the world. As the climate gets warmer and incomes go up, sales of air conditioners are spiking. While it's good news that more people are going to be able to live in comfort, it also means a significant increase in the use of energy.
Joining us now is Lucas Davis. He's an associate professor of economic analysis and policy at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley, where he's also the faculty director of the Energy Institute. He co-authored a recent paper on the global impact of air conditioning. Lucas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Hello.
Well, you say that sales of air conditioners have exploded worldwide over the last few years. Can you just give us a sense of how much this is spreading around the country and around the world?
Yeah, sure. You bet. So it's not as much the rich countries like the U.S. Wisconsin people have air conditioning and have had air conditioning now. It's in middle-income countries. So China is a great example. Chinese sales of air conditioners have doubled in the last 5 years. And now every year in China, there's 60 million air conditioners that are sold. So that's like nine times as many air conditioners are sold in the U.S. So it's just a dramatic increase in air conditioner sales.
And that doesn't look like that trend is going to stop anytime soon, does it?
No, it doesn't. In fact, in working on this paper, we took a look around the world, and there's a lot of countries that are both emerging out of poverty, so middle-income countries, and places that are very, very warm. So India is going to be perhaps the next one. India right now has very little air conditioning, and most households in India are too poor to afford air conditioning. But that's changing. Incomes are rising around the world, and as people come out of poverty, they want to buy stuff, and one of the things they buy is air conditioning.
So there's a good news story there. Incomes increasing. People in hot places can have some of the same benefits we do here in the United States. But you write in this paper that comes with potential costs. Can you talk about, first of all, how much energy we're using in our air conditioning?
It's an enormous amount of electricity. A typical room air conditioner uses 10 to 20 times as much electricity as a fan. So as people buy air conditioning, their household electricity consumption can easily double. In terms of the fraction of air conditioning, in a high-income country like the U.S. with a medium climate, 10, 15, 20% of total electricity can go towards air conditioning demand. It's smaller than that elsewhere in the world, but it's still the potential for this to just increase electricity demand around the world is staggering. And it is a real challenge. It's a challenge for countries to meet that increase in electricity demand.
Right. So if you're in one of those countries that's been lower income in the past, now you have all these air conditioners, all this rising demand, what kind of things are you looking to see to meet that big boom in electricity demand?
I'll tell you, right, south of the border is a great example. So Mexico is absolutely seeing this right now. So northern Mexico, we've gone from very low saturation of air conditioning to now the northeastern states, so Tamaulipas and Nuevo León, Mexico, now have 70% plus of households have air conditioning. It's really happened overnight. So people are just going to stores and buying air conditioners, bringing them home and installing them. And so what the National Electricity Utility in Mexico has had to do is all of the above. They've had to invest massively in new generation sources. They've had to invest in transmission lines, invest in distribution lines. They're basically working as fast as you possibly can to increase infrastructure to meet this increasing demand.
Talking to Lucas Davis, he's an associate professor at the University of California, Berkeley. He focuses on energy and economic analysis. Lucas, as the air conditioning demand increases, we're using more and more of it. The obvious concern, I guess, is we're wanting AC more because the world is getting warmer. But that energy increase you're talking about is going to increase carbon emissions, leading to more global warming. Are we headed into an ugly cycle here?
Yeah, I mean, it is ironic that as the temperatures grow, as the temperatures increase, what we're doing to adapt to that, what we're doing to stay cool, is actually creating more carbon dioxide emissions, thereby creating more warming. It is ironic. I think moving forward, the big question is, well, where is electricity going to come from? Today, around the world, most electricity comes from fossil fuels, but there's great optimism that that could change. It's not going to change overnight, but over the next several decades, we could move to having much lower carbon-based electricity.
Is air conditioning more efficient now than it used to be? Is it less of a hit per unit of air conditioning than it once was?
That's a great point. It is. So air conditioning is about twice as energy efficient as it was in the 1970s. So engineers have worked very hard to try to squeeze out as much cooling as you can possibly get per kilowatt hour of electricity. I'm worried that is, although I hope we keep working on it, I'm worried that there's going to be limits to how much of that we can do. I think where there's maybe more scope for technology to increase kind of a broader sense of efficiency is more on design of buildings. Can we design buildings to keep them cooler? Can we use natural shade? Can we insulate our homes better? Can we design better windows? Can we deliver, you know, what the exciting thing here is that people are more comfortable in their homes. They're not sweating. They're happy. Can we deliver that same thermal comfort but with less electricity consumption?
But that sounds like a really slow answer. We're not going to suddenly redesign every home, office, store, other building on Earth.
Absolutely. That's something. So I'm at UC Berkeley in California, and that's something that California set some of the most ambitious electricity and energy efficiency goals in the country. But that's something that an absolute challenge here is when so much energy use comes from existing buildings, what do you do? What do you do? And you're exactly right. It is very hard and often prohibitively expensive to retrofit existing buildings.
Let's look at a potential scenario. We'll call it a worst-case scenario. We keep expanding the use of air conditioning. More and more hot countries that are currently too poor to afford air conditioning, well, now they can afford it, and they get it. We see the use of air conditioning multiplying, and we're charging that with fossil fuels. We're not doing it with renewable energy. What is your worry if we continue on that path?
Yeah, so that corresponds closely to kind of the most aggressive emissions scenarios considered by, for example, the IPCC. And that kind of outcome, based on the consensus in the scientific literature, leads us to a 6, 7, 8 degrees of average temperature warming by end of century. So that could lead to, that's really catastrophic climate change.
Supposing we in the United States wanted to provide leadership on this, is it an awkward conversation if we're saying to these countries now developing, getting more and more air conditioning, oh, ease off, guys, or make sure you use renewable fuels, when we've been not practicing that for some decades now?
Yeah, I think, absolutely. I mean, and it goes back to, fundamentally, this is a good thing. People being cool in their homes is good. And, no one should tell a household that they cannot buy this thing that's going to make them very happy. I think in terms of policy leadership, it's more about setting prices right. So that means adopting a carbon tax, which I'm very optimistic the U.S. Will do sooner rather than later. And then leading on R&D, so investing in technology, trying to design better air conditioners, trying to design better ways of keeping cool and or creating electricity without creating as much carbon dioxide.
And one of the main points in that paper that led us to give you a call was the idea of a carbon tax. That's a phrase that's thrown around a lot. Can you talk about what that might look like if it were passed here in the United States?
Yeah. So first, I'd say economists love the idea of a carbon tax. Why do they love it? By setting a carbon tax, what that would do is it would set the incentives right for all kinds of better behavior. So what would you see in practice? We'd see gas prices would go up, electricity prices would go up, Natural gas prices would go up. Everything that you do would now be reflected with a new set of higher prices, reflecting the fact that the consumption of electricity creates negative externalities. So it creates carbon dioxide emissions and other negative effects on other people. Now you say, well, wait a second, this just sounds like I'm going to pay more. Well, the great thing about a carbon tax is that it generates a lot of revenue. That revenue doesn't disappear. This revenue goes to the government, and the government can choose to reduce other taxes. So we could actually reduce everybody a whole bunch of other taxes that economists actually don't like as much as a carbon tax, replace it with a carbon tax, lead everyone to make better, cleaner, greener choices, and reduce distortion somewhere else in the economy.
We're talking with Lucas Davis, Associate Professor of Economic Analysis and Policy at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley, taking a look at the global impact of the rising use of air conditioning and the challenges that creates.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the world is ready to handle an increased demand for air conditioning? And what do you think this will mean for global carbon dioxide emissions? And what, if anything, can or should be done to meet that demand? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're talking about the global impact of air conditioning as income levels and temperatures rise and what it might mean for the planet. Our guest is Lucas Davis, Associate Professor of Economic Analysis and Policy at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the rising use of air conditioning around the world? Do you use it? Do you feel bad when you use it? Are you glad you have it? What do you think about the potential environmental impacts? And what do you think about the idea of a carbon tax? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers. Chad is on the line in Monaco. That's Monaco, Wisconsin. Yeah, Chad, hi.
Yeah, I just think the people that push the idea of a carbon tax, it's not fair to people that have to drive for a living or people that are in parts of the country that need more heating and cooling. These people that just constantly want to steal money are just ruining the country and making it impossible.
Chad, thanks for the call. Lucas, the idea that some people would be unfairly hit by carbon taxes.
Yeah, I'm extremely sensitive to that concern, and I've done research on how carbon tax and gasoline taxes would impact, in particular, low income households. And I think what's missing from that discussion is that a carbon tax or a gas tax creates revenue that can then be used to do things. And I think one great way, if what you're concerned about is impact for low-income households, a great thing to do is to increase use of the EITC, the Earned Income Tax Credit. So you could take revenue generated from a carbon tax, and you could double the Earned Income Tax Credit. And so give low-income households and working households in the U.S. a much larger tax rebate that they can then use to pay for that gas tax, making them not worse off.
Chad, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Joseph in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Joseph, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
I think a lot of it's true, but on the housing, I was a carpenter for like 25 years, and a lot of these houses and buildings, I think myself, have too many windows in them, and they could also be better insulated to where the air conditioner would run less to let the heat escape in and the cool air escape out. That would be one thing they could do when they build new houses. But
Joseph, thanks a lot for that call. And that gets to that building design idea you were talking about, Lucas, that with some forethought or maybe some retrofitting, we could lower our need for air conditioning and heating, too, for that matter, I guess.
Yeah, I know one thing. Another thing people have found is that many air conditioners are poorly sized for the units, sometimes, and oftentimes twice as large of an air conditioner as you need. So you can save a lot of energy just by getting the right sized unit. Get energy prices right, and that would incentivize people to make better choices along all these dimensions.
Joseph, thanks for the call. Chuck is with us next in Woodstock, Illinois. Chuck, hi.
Hi, how are you? How are you today?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I completely agree with what you're saying about air conditioning. The carbon tax is a great idea, but I think offsetting with lowering other taxes would be a huge battle. And then the other comment I wanted to add to it is that, well, he's talking about the developing nations as being a big source of the demand for energy and air conditioning. He didn't mention, but I'm sure he thought of, that the population growth compounds that. With huge population growth and a shift to middle-class incomes and the demand for all energy-producing items, it's going to really contribute to global warming.
Chuck, thanks a lot for that call. Let's take each of those points in turn. First of all, Lucas, a lot of people probably share Chuck's skepticism. If the government generates new revenue, in this case in the form of carbon tax, do we really think they'll ultimately use it to lower their revenue in another realm?
You know, I think when you could see a carbon tax put in place, perhaps politically the best chance to do it would be when the government is exactly facing a revenue shortfall. We saw that a little bit in 2008, 2009, when a carbon tax just about made it through Congress, and I think you could see it again. In that case, you would just be offsetting, you wouldn't be imposing new taxes. So yeah, I think it could be done credibly. In terms of the global impact, I couldn't agree more. This is a staggering challenge. So not in high-income countries. High-income countries, we're kind of set. But at low- and middle-income countries, energy demand is right now forecast to approximately double over the next two or three decades. That is just an enormous challenge to meet that increase in energy and to do it in a way that doesn't heat up the planet.
Chuck, thanks for the call. We are talking to Lucas Davis from the University of California, Berkeley, looking at the global impact of air conditioning. We use it a lot here in the United States, and a lot of other countries are coming online as they can afford air conditioning. They're generating the power to power that. What's that doing for the environment? You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on Facebook as Tim did. Tim writes, I do not have air conditioning and we survive, so I think the electricity usage of AC is a waste. Yeah, it makes me feel better about my impact on the climate, but if anyone offered to pay for it, I wouldn't say no. Tim, thanks a lot for that comment. Lucas, what do you think of this idea of maybe looking at our air conditioning usage as Tim does, a little bit a moral issue? It makes him feel better that he's not using it, but there's a gray area. He might use it if it was free.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that do a lot of things to help the environment on their own accord, but I'm skeptical about that being a solution to a global problem like climate change. I think you have to have policies. I think you have to price carbon dioxide emissions, or you're just not going to get where we have to get.
Thanks, Tim, for that comment. We'll go to Bob on the line in Chippewa Falls. Bob, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was involved in the solar industry back in the 80s, and we sold a solar collector that was capable of air conditioning. American Solar King made an absorption copper plate, and it could be used with an ammonia bromide systems to air condition. So it's kind of ideal. The hotter it gets, the more it collects.
Bob, thanks a lot for that call. Lucas, it seems a little paradoxical using the sun to cool down our houses. Is that one avenue of technology that you could see, probably not being the whole solution, Lucas, but being part of the solution?
I can't speak to this exact technology, but it's true that what we've seen over the last couple of years is that the cost of solar PV, solar photovoltaics, has come down dramatically. Actually, just in this last year, the costs have gone down by something like 30% or 40%. It's a remarkable time of progress for grid scale solar plants, and I do think we're going to see a lot more of that.
Bob, thanks for the call. Tom is with us next on the line in Madison. Tom, hi.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I was just wondering if your guest is aware of a group called Citizens Climate Lobby, which is based in California, actually, and I'm a member. I'm in Madison. We've got volunteers all over the country. But what we advocate is a form of carbon tax on the fossil fuel industries. They pay into this pot of money as they extract fossil fuels. And then the money, rather than being used for tax relief, is actually given directly to citizens. Through checks or direct payments and that sort of thing. So you bypass the whole tax system, you give the money to the people, they can spend it however they want. We've actually done a study that shows that 2/3 of the people in the United States would actually come out of head that way in spite of the rising costs of sort of conventional energy.
Tom, thanks for the call. So Lucas, collect a carbon tax, I guess, in this plan, cut a check or some other means of payment to the American citizenry. What would you think of that approach?
I think the idea of taxing as upstream as possible is a great idea. That's where that makes it easier to do. It's administratively easier to do and cheaper to collect upstream. In terms of giving people lump sum payments, I've seen very similar studies where you can make the bottom two thirds of Americans strictly better off by giving lump sum payments back to them. You can do that, I guess. I view something like the EATC or some kind of more explicitly redistributive use of the taxes as a better approach if your goal really is to address inequality. But I definitely see the appeal of the simplicity of that plan, and I see the appeal of that.
Lucas, as we wrap up, do you think that there's a political opening to do something like this carbon tax?
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, I do think the first 100 days of the next president, I think, is an opportunity to do something. I feel more optimistic about this than I have in quite a long time.
We'll leave it there. Lucas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Lucas Davis. He's an associate professor of economic analysis and policy at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley, where he's the faculty director of the Energy Institute. He joins us to talk about the global impact of increased air conditioner usage. He authored a recent paper on that topic, talked about the impact of the growing use of air conditioning around the world, the impact it could have on climate, and called for this idea that we ended with there, a carbon tax, a tax on fossil fuel use at some level or another. Still time for you to share your thoughts on this topic, continue the conversation on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you use air conditioning? How much do you use it? Do you wish you had it if you don't? Could you do without it if you do? And what do you think about this idea, this approach, a carbon tax? Share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.